It was a few weeks ago that we celebrated our daughter's graduation from high school. So congratulations to Caroline. Also, the party that we had was not only a party for her, but a party for the parents as well. And so we feel that's quite an accomplishment. And our children, they go to Paradise Academy, which is the name of our homeschool. And our attendance is dropping, we've noticed. So, but please we'll put all the rumors to rest. We have no intention of trying to increase enrollment in our school whatsoever. So we're grateful that God has helped us to have a second one graduate. On the tables when at the party, there was a jar there, and the jar said words of wisdom, and you were to write some words of wisdom, practical advice, or helpful tips for the graduate. And I was able to read through some of those. And, you know, I have to tell you, some of you guys, you went for humor, and now it's great. I mean, some of you did very well with the humor. I actually laughed out loud on some of them. Some of them, I don't know what you're going for. If you're going for humor, you just didn't get there. It was a good try. Thank you. That was good. Some of you are very serious and very spiritual about those things, which that's really going to help her in the future. And some of those things, quite frankly, I don't know what people were doing when they wrote them down there. I don't know what advice you're trying to give about yellow snow. But, you know, you put it out there, and it's good, you know, it's there, but some of those things are kind of self-evident. So I did read through them all, and I've sorted out, you know, we actually threw some of them, we just literally threw away. So none of yours, okay, none of yours, but some party crashers came in, and they wrote some stuff down. Well, we threw those out, but the rest of them, you know, we kept, well, most of them anyway. And some of you were brave enough to sign your name on those. Most of you were not. So she is now forever going to be left wondering, you know, who told her about different things, all right? So we won't go there. But it got me to wondering, if we could invite famous people through history or, you know, well-known people, if they were invited to the party, what words of wisdom would they have given, you know, or maybe a life motto, something she could live her life after? And so I did some research on this, and that's code for I went on Google, and I found some more life mottos from some famous people. For instance, Dr. Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known as Dr. Seuss, this is what he said: be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. That is some really good insight there. Be who you are, say what you feel. Theodore Roosevelt said this, and I kind of thought this was Casey Kasem off America's Top 40, and until I realized that Theodore Roosevelt said this: keep your eyes on the stars and your feet on the ground. That's good advice, isn't it? Not quite as good as Rocky Balboa, who said this: it's not about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. Can I get a shout out to Adrian, anybody? Thank you. All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's super. All right. George Carlin, comedian, he said this: don't sweat the petty things and don't pet the sweaty things. Which is probably, that's just sage advice. So, actress Audrey Hepburn, this is from a generation ago, said, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible, which is really good insight. And then, of course, Steve Jobs, right? I'm saying it right, all right. I always get Jobs and Job mixed up. So, Steve Jobs says, your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Very good advice. So now many people, they come up with their life mottos. In fact, some of them are developed early in life. And if you don't believe me, look at your high school yearbook. Because that's when people, maybe they actually give you a saying down, you know, and it goes underneath your picture somewhere. We had memory books. Did you guys have those in high school? where you could get a memory book and you can pass around to your friends and they would be able to write, sign something in it, a memory book and things like that, which is can be very dangerous depending on who you hand it to. So you never know what it is. So you got a memory, put all your stuff in this memory book. I think it was just another way to make money. So, but anyway, that's what they come up with. But I did find some, in my research again, on what some high schoolers put out there for what they were thinking of a life motto when they're graduating high school. And so here's a guy by the name of Faison Graham. Underneath his picture, it said, dot, 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 was released from his four-year sentence. That was his high school motto. Okay, right. Ladies' man, Greg Schwartz, he quoted everybody else. Greg just stole my girl, said everyone. Wow, he's quite a looker. Here's an overconfident guy named Garrett Syke. He said, I get butterflies when I think of myself. Very ambitious student, Kevin Chang, said, it's not enough that I should succeed. Others should fail. That's how, yeah. So, wow, I mean, it may be just a little over the top there. Well, now, I don't know what happened to any of these people here, you know, what their life has turned out to be like. But I do know that whenever you look at a life verse or you look at a life motto, you better figure out, okay, what source are you going with? I mean, where are you finding this information? Are you just finding this off a yearbook somewhere? Or is this some comedian who said this once upon a time and they told you about sweaty things and you know, those kind of things? I cannot think of a better resource to turn to when you're looking for wisdom to build your life upon than the Bible. That's the best resource that we have. It's God's Word given to us. And so as we look into God's Word, many of you have passages in the Bible that are really special to you. Maybe it's a verse that it just really has jumped off the page to you. Maybe when you prayed to receive Christ or you're going through a difficult time or somebody shared this with you and man, this is really great. And you're just kind of patterning your life around that. Some people call that their life verse. I have two of them. I have one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament because I can do that. But we all can. It's not just me. Anybody can do that. And I actually claimed one for ministry. I was reading about a retired minister, and this is when we were still in Bible college, and he was sharing about, you know, when he and his wife, they were first entering into the ministry, that the verse out of Philippians 4:19 really became powerful to them, where God said, I will supply all your needs according to my glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I thought, well, this dude's retired. He doesn't need that verse anymore, so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to claim that as my life verse, for that's my one in the New Testament. And then my Old Testament one is Joshua 1:9, where it says, do not be discouraged, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So those are life verses. That's what a life verse is. Maybe it's something that just really has meant a lot to you. And so what we want to do as we work through the rest of the summer, through the months of July and August, we're going to be looking at some life verses. In fact, we are asking if you would like to submit yours. There is a form that looks just like this that's on the foyer table. If you wanted to write that, what is that Bible reference? If you could put your name there, that's great. That would be helpful. And just send that in to me. Now, I can tell you this. We have the month of July mapped out, but we are still mapping out the month of August. So if you wanted to fill one of those out and give that to me or Pastor Alyssa today, that would be really helpful. Maybe it's just a passage, or maybe it's just one verse in particular that really has meant a lot to you. Today, we're going to look at the first one of that series, and that is out of Matthew chapter 6. And the verse itself is Matthew 6:33, but I want to read the passage that it's from. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. This is right in the very middle of the sermon. So we want to at least get the context as to where this passage is found, where this very verse is found. So Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 25, and we're going to read this out loud for you. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Actually, what I find is worry takes hours away from my life, doesn't add any to them. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here's the life verse. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That memory verse, or that life verse, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a great way to live your life, isn't it? Seeking first God's kingdom and God's righteous ways and just trusting him to provide everything. And that is a very simple but a profound way to live life. Not simplistic. I'm saying it keeps life simple. You know, the passage, as I said, is right in the very heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is he's talking to us about something that we have become very proficient at doing, that is worrying. He begins the passage saying, do not worry. You guys say it together. Do not worry. He ends the passage by saying, he ends the passage by saying, do not worry. And right in the very middle of the passage, he says it again. Do not worry. I think there's a theme about these words that he's getting across to us. He says, do not worry. Three different times he says, don't worry about something. He deals with three times about something we are really good at doing. You see, I was not born a worrier. I became a worrier through time. And I've become very good at that. Now, if that is something that I can learn, it is also a skill by God's great grace that I can unlearn. Now, there is a difference between worry and concern. All right? And I failed to put it on the screen, so I'm going to give it to you. The old English word for worry, it means to choke or to strangle. That's what worry does, doesn't it? I mean, it strangles the life out of you. Concern, what it does, it moves us to action. It motivates us to do something. Worry, actually, it chokes the life out of us. Worry, what happens is we worry because we rely upon ourselves. When I'm concerned, I can be concerned about something, but guess what? God, I can take it to you. I'm concerned about this, and I'm laying it at your feet. I rely on God. Worry, what that ends up doing is that stifles my planning. I can't plan to do stuff because I'm so worried about it. But when I'm concerned, it motivates me to make plans and to make really good plans when I'm concerned about something. And so there is a difference between worrying about something and being simply concerned about something. I like how somebody said, defined worry. It is a distracting care. That's really what it is. It is a care. Now, does God want us to be concerned about the food we eat? Of course he does. But he does not want our issue with food to become a distracting care of our life. How about clothes? Does God want us to care about the clothes that we wear? Go ahead, you can tell me. I'm your pastor. I won't tell anybody. Yes, he does. But he doesn't want clothing to become a distracting care of our life or any other issue that we might worry about. What he's saying is don't allow the things of life to become a distracting care for you, that it takes your focus on what is most important. And he kind of drills down through this whole thing. What he's saying, basically, he's saying, I will take care of you. I care about you too much not to take care of you. Whatever you're facing, however dark it might seem, maybe there's a day that black is the brightest color you can see. He's saying, I'll take care of you on that day too. I care about you. I understand about you, whether you're going through something physically or emotionally or mentally. It's a spiritual battle or a financial battle or relationships. He says, I care about you, so don't worry. He's saying, I've got you. Believe me. I'll take care of you. So this is a passage that you probably have heard before this morning, haven't you? How many of you heard this? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, I see one in the back and several others. Yeah. Okay, this is a very familiar passage. And so I'm just going to pull out a couple of principles or main points that I've come up to on this. And then we're going to then tighten the screws down a little bit towards the end as to how does this then look in our life, all right? So the first point that I want to bring out is this. What Jesus is trying to say to us, there is more to life than what you are worried about. Your life is a lot bigger than the things you're worried about, isn't it? Aren't you glad? Praise God. There's something bigger called life than the things that I worry about. He says, don't worry about your life. What you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you're going to wear. You know, that's what he's getting across to us. Is not life more important than food? Isn't your body more important than clothes? You know, the key question there is not life more? Yeah. Isn't life more than all the stuff we worry about? If this thing that we call life is no more than the food we eat or our fashion or our finances or the fun that we have, I'm done. I want something more than just all this little stuff out here. You know, I have to say, I am a very blessed man. God has blessed my life. He has lavished his blessings on me. He has been so good to me. I can say this, there has never been a day of my life that I worried about if I was going to have enough food to eat. I know that that's not the case for many, many people in the world, but God is... He's blessed me, and I don't deserve this. I'm grateful. There have been days, though, that I've wondered what I was going to eat. I have stood in front of the fast food counter. Should I get the double cheeseburger, or should I get the two single cheeseburgers? I mean, this is a big concern, you know. You're worried, double cheeseburger or two singles? I don't know. You know, you wonder about it. Should I get the caramel moulatte or should I just go with the mocha moulatte? How many would say caramel all the way? Absolutely. I pray for you. I see that hand. Come on forward, girl. I'll pray for you. How many of you say you got to go mocha? Definitely mocha. Yeah, all right. There's my people. All right, thank you, Paul. All right. Yeah, and you caramel people call yourself Christians. So, no, I'm just messing with you. I've never once have worried about food. I know God's going to take care of me. I have more than enough. Frank, that's part of the problem. I have more food than what I desperately need. So, I've wondered about food, but I haven't worried about food. It's the same for clothing. You know, a while back, I did a 5-minute closet cleansing. Now, I went out and I got a garbage bag. I opened the closet doors. And now I know several of you, you'd have to take several because you have several closets, all right? So you'd have to have a bag for each closet, okay? And I'm not naming names or anything. But 5 minutes, okay? The goal was 5 minutes, you fill up the garbage bag. Okay, and so that's what I did. I filled up that garbage bag in 5 minutes, and some of these clothes, I mean, come on, Steve, these haven't been seen the light in a long time. Even the 80s cult, they want their fashion back, all right? That's what some of my clothes, I was finally getting rid of it, and I did what we all do. I took that bag, and I put it in the trunk, and I drove around for 4 months, and then I took it to Goodwill. I mean, that's just what you got to do. That's the way that life goes, you know? So, but you know, I look at that closet now, and guess what? It is full. There's still plenty of clothes. I've got plenty. There's still stuff. I haven't even got into the 90s yet, okay? I mean, we're just taking this one decade at a time, okay? Don't rush it. My wife, I think she still has a pair of parachute pants. She is sure that they're coming back in style. So, I don't know. We should just have an 80s day one day at church. I mean, it'd be awesome. We'll get Amy to wear some parachute pants. That'd be so great. So, oh, I'm glad she's in the nursery right now. So... Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, I have never had to worry about clothing. I've wondered. You know, I've stood like, what am I going to wear? You know? Well, I'll wear this because it's not hung up yet. You know, so, you know, be very, you know, efficient, you know. So I've never worried about my clothes. I will say this, though. There's been a lot of stuff that I've worried about. There's been a lot of things that, man, they've taken up way too much of my time and my life. I just wondered, what are some of the big things that we worry about? What are some things? Could you just share with me, what are some things that we worry about? Money. We worry about money. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's hard. Yeah, I worry about what other people think about me. Yeah, that's a big worry. It is, yeah. What else? We worry about our kids, yeah, or our grandkids, or... Yeah. Don't we worry about our health sometimes? Work. We worry about work. Yeah. Yeah, there's, I mean, basically, if it is anything we can worry about, we can find a way to worry about it, can't we? And it's, you know, isn't Jesus what limiting our worries just to these things? He's saying, don't worry about anything. That's what he's trying to get across. You know, maybe you worry about the government, maybe you worry about time, maybe you worry about your retirement or the future, you just name it. All those things are very important. They're important issues of life, of what Jesus is trying to get across to us. He's like, there is this huge forest called life. And I don't want you to miss it because you're focused on one tree called that thing that you're worrying about right now. You're saying, oh, but Jesus, but it is a really big tree. He knows. He's saying, don't let that be the distracting care of your life. Something has been distracting me for months now. On our screen behind me, there's a, I don't know if it's a bug or whatever it was, but there is a little bug on the screen, right about the middle of the screen. Have you seen it up there? Yeah, it's right above that. Yeah, yeah. That is the most distracting thing. I don't know what we got to do to get that cleaned off of there. But, you know, you can focus so much on that one little spot that you miss everything else. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Don't allow the things of life become a distracting care that you miss this thing called life that I want to give to you. You guys, some of you have never seen it before. Thanks. That's all you can fix. Yeah, no, okay, oh, gee. Yeah, I just messed you all up. All right. Yeah. He doesn't minimize how important those things are. Instead, he wants us to focus on the life he has planned for us. What he's saying is, I've got you. Your biggest worry, it's a small part of that big thing that he has in store for you. If your life was a puzzle of 1,000 pieces, he's saying, don't focus on that one piece. Oh, but Jesus, that one piece, it has a lot of dark colors on it. I mean, and it is such an important piece. I get it. But there's this whole thing that you can trust me with. You focus on that one thing, you won't see how it all fits together with the plan that I have for you. Psychologists, they have studied worry. And actually, the medical profession, they've studied worry because it's a major issue in our society and in many societies. Here's what they found out. They said that 40% of the things we worry about are over situations that will never come to pass. How many of you've worried about things and they've never happened? Praise God. Thank you for the gift of worry, God, because of my worry, and it solved that problem. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, worry is what you pour on your molehill when you want to make a great big mountain, isn't it? Another 30% of our worries, our psychologists found out, are things concerning the past. Things that have already happened. That worry cannot change one bit, but yet we constantly go back and we worry about those things. They said 22% of our worries are really over petty issues that will make no difference whatsoever. We think they will, but we're giving them more value than what they really have. They say that now 8% of our worries have to do with a significant issue of life. So let's do some math. Okay? We have 40. plus the 30% of things that are events of the past. So how much is that? 70. Another 22% are over petty issues. How much is that? 92. Okay, what we're saying is that 92% of our issues are things that will never happen, or things that have already happened, or things that they don't matter whatsoever. So 92% of all your worries, you can just let go at this very moment. Wouldn't that great? That is awesome, isn't it? Praise God. You can let go of 92% of your worries right now. You probably should be feeling better about yourself already. Seriously, well, you're not going to unless you let go of it, okay? Now, we can hold on to those things, but yeah, 92% is not going to happen. It already happened, or it doesn't matter if it happens or not. Yeah, Pastor, what about that other 8%? Let me tell you about that other 8%. Do you think that the all-time, undisputed, undefeated champion of love, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Rose of Sharon, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you think that He, the one who promised to never leave you and never forsake you and give you all the strength you need to do all that you're supposed to do, do you think He can help you with 8% of your worries today? Come on, folks, I can't say that again. Do you think He can? He can. Absolutely He can. Yes, and that's what He's trying to say to us. He loves you way too much to let you down now. Your life is so much bigger than the things that you worry about. We can trust Him to help us today. And I know some of you were saved in Missouri. You say, what are you talking about? Well, some of you are Missouri Christians. They're called Show Me Christians, all right? Yeah, well, yes, show them. Prove it to me, Pastor. Yeah. Show them, prove this. Well, it's not me, it's Jesus, okay? That all sounds great, but prove that God will take care of me because I've got some big things. Because my kids are going off the rails. Or I've got big health concerns. Or my finances, there's a whole lot more month than there is money. We've got big things in our family. Yeah, but Jesus is saying that He'll take care of you. In fact, here's what He says for you that just need proof. He says, look at the birds. You're like, what? Look at the birds. That's a funny one, yeah. You know, health care cost is going through the roof. And you say, look at the birds. My kids want a raise in their allowance. You know, my mother-in-law, she's coming for the holidays. I mean, she's coming on New Year's and she's staying through Christmas. I mean, she's hitting every holiday. I've got big worries, all right, people? Hey, it's so true. And you say, look at the birds. That's what you got for me? And that's exactly what Jesus says, look at the birds. I can remember I was sitting at the bedside of a man who was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, and I was talking with him. Lou Gehrig's disease, and if you've ever known anybody who has that, it is a horrific killer. There's no known cure for that. Sometimes it progresses and plateaus, but yeah, it eventually will take their life. What happens with this disease is it attacks the cells of the brain that control muscle movement. And so you lose control of your limbs, you lose control of your speech, of your digestive system. You lose control of everything. And so I was sitting beside his bed, and he was talking with me. He was still able to talk, wasn't able to walk anymore, but he was talking with me. And he looked out the window, and he said, sometimes I sit here and I think, oh, if I could just be like one of those birds out there, and I would just fly away from all this stuff. You ever feel that way? Like, man, God, I'm so tired of this. God, I just wish this would just go away. God, take me to a place that this is no issue anymore. My friend there in the bed, who eventually died of Lou Gehrig's disease, is in heaven today. He died triumphant in Jesus. Lou Gehrig's disease took his body, but did not take his soul. It may have won a battle, but Jesus won that war. My friend was not the first to feel like, God, get me away from this. And you're not the first either. Actually, King David said something very, very similar in Psalm 55. In fact, the scholars believe that when David wrote this, he was writing about his son Absalom, who was rebelling not only against David, but against the entire kingdom of Israel. David and some of his key men, they were running for their lives. I mean, literally, under the cover of darkness, they're running into the wilderness. Here he is, the king of Israel. As David is being chased out of his kingdom by his own son, he writes these words, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest." Just think about those birds for a moment. He's making this point that the birds, they don't work, or they don't hope they got a big enough barn or a big enough pile of seeds or a big enough box of worms or whatever they do. They have learned a secret that we should remember. And it is this: God takes care of His creation. And if God will take care of His creation, you better believe God will take care of His children. That's what He does. He's saying, you are so much more valuable than birds are. And if He is so good at taking care of the birds, He is really good at taking care of you. He will move heaven and earth to take care of you. That's why He says, don't worry. And if that doesn't convince you, He says, now look at the flowers of the field. I just picture Jesus. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is an outdoor sermon, right? And so He's doing this outside, and I picture Him just kind of looking over a valley, and He sees the bird, and He says, hey, look at the birds. And as He's kind of looking down that valley, He says, now look at the flowers, the lilies on the field. Have you ever really taken a time to really look at the detail of a flower? I mean, it is astonishing, really, when you look at this. I mean, we cannot paint something that beautiful. We could not make something. And by the way, this thing is living, all right? It's changing. And the one right next to it is completely different, but yet similar to that one over there. And he hand paints every one. And He's saying, these flowers, they're here today and they're gone tomorrow. And if that's how your Heavenly Father cares for the flowers, don't you think He'll take care of you? He says, you know, not only the greatest king of all of human history was ever clothed in the splendor that your Heavenly Father gives to those flowers, so will He not much more take care of you? If God takes such great care of His creation, oh, we can believe that He will take great care of His children. You believe that? He will. Oh, He will. If we do, then we have absolutely no reason to worry. You know what happens when we start worrying? We try to control things that are not ours to control. They're not ours to control, so don't try to control them. Well, let's tighten down the screws just a little bit here. Let's apply some of this stuff to our life. See, Jesus said, do not worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. He said, for the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Here's one thing. If you really believe that God takes care of His creation, that He'll take care of you, that God knows that life is much bigger than what the things you're worried about, here's the thing. The people who trust Jesus, they live differently than the people who don't trust Jesus. That's what He said. The pagans run after all this stuff. The pagans are worried about all that stuff. The pagans are trying to control stuff. A pagan, someone who doesn't believe in God or trying to follow God or knows God whatsoever, that is a pagan way of living. What He's saying is live like someone who's a child of the King. Live like someone who knows that His Heavenly Father is going to take care of every need you have. There's a distinct difference. There should be. Between those who are living and trusting God and those who are not. See, worry, what happens is we are not wired for worry. Do you ever feel good when you worry? I feel terrible when I worry. And the medical community, they've studied worry. Actually, it affects us, you know, physically. I mean, we get insomnia, we get ulcers, we get backaches, we get headaches. Man, just talking about it makes me kind of feel queasy. You know, it's just, you know, there is no positive thing that comes out of this worry thing. And here's the reason. We are not made for worry. We're not wired for worry. We are wired for faith and trust in God. And it's only when we step into that relationship of faith and trust in God that suddenly we get our wires right. When we're worried, guess what? Our wires are all crossed up. We need to get rewired. And that is by trusting in our Heavenly Father. Second application is this. If you focus on God's business, He will focus on your business. That's what the verse, that life verse, I can't remember just who shared that with us, but that's what the life verse is saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. You focus on God's business, His kingdom and His righteous ways, and He'll focus on yours. All these things that you need in your life, He's going to give to you. Now people say, well, He doesn't give us our wants, He gives us our needs. Well, some of the things you want, you don't need. Here's what else I found. He gives me what I really need, even if I don't think I need it. And He gives lavishly. He gives you more than what you could ever imagine. Focus on God's business. Focus on building His kingdom. Focus on living a righteous way, making holy choices with your habits, with your money, with the things that you worry about. And here's what God will do. He's going to meet every need you have. You say, well, I'm worried about my finances. Here's what I know. If you honor God with your finances, He will honor you. You guys know exactly, some of you who are doing that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're saying, well, Pastor, our marriage, we really need help. Here's what I know. Focus or honor God with your marriage. He will honor that marriage. He will. That's what God does. If you honor me, He will honor you. If you seek first my kingdom, I'll meet every need that you have. This is the way that God works. If you are worried about your health, guess what? Honor God with your health and He will honor you. If you are worried about anything at all, honor God with it. And He will honor you. He will bless you. He will... Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust Jesus. I mean, life will just start to open up. God doesn't play games with you. You are too valuable for Him to play games with you. He's given it to you straight. You know, whatever the issue is, seek Him. Make those choices that honor Him. And He will meet every need of your life. That's what He does. I've had the great privilege of walking with Jesus since 1990. He has never failed me. I have had to make some hard choices. But He has never failed me. Every time I have honored God, He has always honored me. That's what He will do. One other application here. You can only live one day at a time. Isn't that true? You can only live one day at a time. That's part of our problem. Some of us, we are trying to relive our yesterdays. And we have regret. We try to go back, and we try to fix things. We try to relive this, or to rekindle that, or to redo this. Yesterday is gone. You say, oh, but we had some great times yesterday. Yes, you have. Oh, but there were some bad things that happened back then. Yes, there were. But I've made choices back then. I understand. Here's the great news. Yesterday left last night. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. And the other problem we have is we try to live tomorrow, today, don't we? I mean, we're trying to live tomorrow. We're trying to solve tomorrow's problems. We're trying to fix all of that. And I'm worried about this, but what if? And God says, I've given you this day. Didn't Jesus say, you know, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. Doesn't today have enough? That's enough trouble. We don't need to add more trouble to today. And I've got to say this only because anytime I get a chance to say it, it's profound. It might be pithy, but it's profound. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. So he's saying live this one day at a time. They did a study, Gallup poll. They studied 400 people who were 95 years old or older. And they wanted to find out, why is it that people 95 years old or older, why do they seem to have such a low level of stress or anxiety in their life? I'm thinking, well, they outlived all their problems. No, they really haven't. No, we know they haven't. So they wanted to find out, why is it that these people were able to live such a long life and have such low level of stress? And what their conclusion was, the people overwhelmingly, they said, we live one day at a time. When you're 95, it's probably a pretty good way to live. One day. If I make it to 95, I'm going to live 1 hour at a time. You know, one step at a time. This is the lunch the Lord has made. You know, maybe that's what I'll be saying. Whatever. You can't live tomorrow yet. We can plan. God wants us to be concerned about obviously make plans for the future. But we can't live that yet. Let's just live in this moment He's given us. There was a man that had got his pilot's license. Now, he was really good at flying when in clear weather. You know, he could see the horizon, the beautiful blue sky, and he could see the airport and all that stuff. Really good at that. But this particular flight he was on, he was having to fly through a fog. And so he's going to have to just fly by his instruments. Now, he's pretty concerned because you cannot see the runway, you can't see the lights on the runway, you can't see the tower, can't see the airport, can't see the town, can't see anything at all. So all he sees is just a big fog in front of him. And he's pretty worried about this. So he calls into the tower and they have him circling, you know, around the airport waiting for his turn to come in. Finally, it was his time to come in and then he starts to panic. And the voice over his intercom told him this that is so important. You just obey my instructions. I will take care of the obstructions. Wow. You just follow my instructions. I'll take care of the obstructions. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those are the instructions we're to follow. All these other things will be given unto you. God will take care of all the obstructions. That is a beautiful way to live. Let's start living like that. Let me pray for you.